Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button because it helps us out here on the show. It raises our profile, regardless of whether you're on YouTube or on like the iOS podcast app, for example.
Yes.
Where else are we, Larson?
Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson.
We had like 60 people watching our live stream yesterday, and you can do that every single week at the $5 Patreon mark, and you get the bonus.
I posted the bonus
episode as his own thing
yesterday.
Productive day for Steve here. We're also at prowrestlingtees.com/Steven Larson. You can get this fun wrestling shirt right here. I want to see.
Is a new one up?
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
See,
right
I would
now.
Have thought you would check that first thing in the morning.
I did, and it wasn't up first thing in the morning.
Oh, I'll be honest. It's a good design.
We're later on in the day. There it is. Oh, that's a beautiful shirt. That's a good-looking shirt. Look what I did.
I just said it was a good-looking shirt.
From the popular Going In Raw series, WGPW. W Steve W, whatever it is.
WGPW.
Yeah. Anyways, what a good looking shirt.
I'm aiming to get a cold water Larson shirt up.
Oh, yeah.
No later than early next week.
All right. I like it. So we're on the road to 9 shirts right now.
Yes.
Anyways, let's talk about some SmackDown Live. They were not live from England.
London.
The O2 Arena.
Correct.
Yeah, that's right. And in a nutshell, I don't know. Yeah, I mentioned this off camera. I kind of feel like these days, in a nutshell, how I enjoyed the show kind of depends on my mood.
Yeah, I think also is since it was taped, we saw the match listing in advance.
Yeah.
And just seeing that on paper, it looked a bit underwhelming.
Okay, here's kind of how I want to put it. Because I know you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I ended up really enjoying it. But I was also kind of finishing up Fun Wrestling while watching it too.
Yeah.
So my attention at points wasn't completely on the show.
There were things I liked about it, but it kind of felt, when you have a 6-man tag match as your main event, that feels house show-ish to me. Although house shows usually have singles
matches. See, but in this case, and we can get to it in more detail when we actually talk about it, it didn't really bother me because everybody involved has storylines with each other.
Yeah,
they might not
I know.
Be as developed as some, but you know, everybody in that match within the last 3 weeks has dealt with the person on the other team.
Yeah.
So there's little storylines they can play off of, and I thought they did a fairly decent job of that.
Here's the thing. I think it's this. I think I've maybe been spoiled by SmackDown because
yes.
I feel like week to week, SmackDown always puts together these really like almost pay-per-view quality singles matchups.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we saw what AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin 1 week. We saw a fantastic triple threat with AJ, Baron, and I think Sami Zayn
mm-hmm.
1 week. And so they put together these really fantastic like I said, almost pay-per-view level matches.
Yeah.
And I felt like this week it was a whole lot of nothing. It was a whole lot of like, we're here in front of the England crowd. We know nothing important is going to happen. So we're going to put everybody on the show so that they get to see everybody, which is totally fine. And you can enjoy the matches for what they are. I get that. I'm just saying like for me personally, I think I've maybe been a little bit spoiled by SmackDown because I'm used to a consistently really, really high quality show.
I'll use this.
This was kind of goof off 2 hours.
I'll use this as my basis of comparison. Raw opened up with a similar segment.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of people in the ring talking.
Yeah.
I found the one on SmackDown far more entertaining.
I'll agree with that. I'll totally
like
agree with that.
The crowd was more engaged in this segment than they were in the Raw one.
Yeah, no. look, there are things about this that I thought did beat Raw. And the opening segment, I saw some, it was funny, the Twitter reaction to this was all over the map with our friendos, the people chiming in on the at Real Going In Raw on Twitter. It was kind of all over the map. Like, some people were like, man, I fell asleep during that opening segment. I think some people enjoyed it. Some people were really into Jinder. I love Jinder.
Oh,
Jinder,
yeah.
Jinder
yeah,
is
he's
a,
great.
He is a bright spot for me right now. And I thought the opening segment, I thought it was actually pretty entertaining. It started off with Orton coming down. the way he carries that belt, the way he carries that title, he just sort of has it down here.
Yeah.
And it's not like like the disdain that we've seen with like Naito or even like, you know, obliviously carrying it over his shoulder like Roman
Reigns.
Like
Reigns was, yeah.
But still, it just sort of feels like, even he knows that he probably shouldn't have this thing.
Or he knows that he's not going to have it for very long.
Right. He knows that this was a big deal to me. This is what it is. This was a big deal to me like 15 years ago or 10 years ago even. And right now, I've had this thing so many times that it doesn't really mean much to me. You know? Like,
yeah.
He probably even knows, man, Baron should have this because it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Shinsuke's probably going to have this because that's really interesting.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There were some ups and downs. But it started off with Orton carrying the belt to the ring. He starts dropping a promo saying that, you know what, payback didn't really matter. Like, Jinder Mahal came out. I have to put this past me.
Well, he said Bray Wyatt didn't beat him at payback.
Yeah.
Jinder Mahal did, which is, you know, you should be giving Bray some credit.
I know. He was very sort of...
He was very dismissive of Bray.
He was very dismissive of House of Horrors.
Yeah.
He was signed the refrigerator. He was like the silly refrigerator or something like
that.
Oh,
he said Bray didn't beat me, and that refrigerator sure as hell didn't beat
me. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was very dismissive. That's a good word. And so anyways, Jinder stopped his yapping by coming out with the Bollywood boys, with the Singh brothers. And it's funny, somebody on Twitter noted that Jinder's voice sounded like I do when I'm sick.
I noticed that too.
And I noticed that too. And I don't know if Jinder usually sounds like that or if Jinder had a little bit of a throat bug. I don't know. Because he didn't seem as like, what's the word I'm looking for?
He wasn't projecting as much.
Exactly, yeah. But Jinder was coming down. I don't know. I liked some of the things Jinder had to say. Mm-hmm. He was saying, your ignorance will be something by my greatness. And then he said, and now I'm going to talk to my people in Punjabi. And so he did that. And or before he did that, Kevin Owens came.
Yeah.
He interrupted him. The face of America. He's always great. Yeah. Like, it's easy to take him for granted.
So, you know, my brother was visiting this week, and he hasn't watched wrestling in forever.
Oh, did you mark out for Kevin Owens?
I kind of gave him a little bit of backstory in Kevin Owens and said, you know,
this guy's great.
Yeah.
Watch him now.
And during Kevin Owens' promo, he chuckled a little bit.
Oh, yeah. He's
because
great.
Because he's great.
Oh, he's fantastic. And the little subtleties of him not walking on his face when he comes out is great. It's so fantastic. It's so, God, he does everything so great.
Yeah.
So he comes down, he, you know, jaws talks about, he says, nobody cares about India. And the crowd popped. He said, no. Nobody cares about England either. he knows how to play that crowd so well.
Yes, he does.
Anyways, he says his bit. AJ Styles comes down, who's going to be challenging Kevin Owens at Backlash for the United States Championship. He says his bit.
Yes.
Baron Corbin comes down. I assume he says his bit. I think.
Yeah, he talks to.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then Sami Zayn runs out and attacks Baron Corbin.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot if Corbin got out anything before Sami Zayn attacked.
Yeah, he said a couple things.
Okay.
And then AJ went after Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, the heels exited the ring.
Yeah.
The faces stood tall. And later on, a six-man tag match was made as our main event.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yes, good way to open the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we had Carmelsworth in the ring, and they introduced Natalya.
Yeah, they were introducing Natalya, and then Naomi came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of dropped a little bit of a promo.
She introduced Becky Lynch.
Yeah, so Becky Lynch came out, and I think right as the match was about to start,
Charlotte
came out.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of a promo saying, I don't need an introduction because...
I need no... Yeah, she
something
says...
Something like that.
I don't need to be introduced because I need no introduction.
Yeah.
Right, Charlotte. And she said, woo, I wonder if Charlotte's going to suffer from the Seth Rollins awkwardly trying to be a babyface thing.
I think so. Unless she has a very distinct goal in mind.
I have no idea.
As of now,
at
no.
This point.
So anyways, that
like
led to...
She's aligning with two of the most like strongly booked faces on the roster. So like, she doesn't have much to worry about these days.
No.
Like, the welcoming committee is not going to be messed with.
No. Yeah. Which led to Becky Lynch versus Natalya.
Mm-hmm.
Decent match.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a spot where Becky Lynch was on the top rope.
Yeah.
And Naomi and Charlotte were trying to fend off the rest of the welcoming committee.
Right.
Charlotte grabs Naomi and kind of removes her from the scrum.
Yeah.
And while all that is happening, Becky is distracted. Natalya throws Becky off the top rope, gets the win.
Yeah, yeah.
And then later on, actually, the next segment backstage,
they're all arguing.
They're, Charlotte and Naomi were arguing about, you know, why that happened, and Becky Lynch was the voice of reason, saying, "Hey, the reason they won is because you're a unified team. We need to be unified as well."
Yeah. I'm still. I don't know about Becky Lynch, man. I'm not sure I trust her. She's gonna turn heel.
She still could. They're kind of playing the seeds. If she sees that her team isn't capable of working together,
yeah,
it's possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're putting doubt in one's mind.
Something's got to break. Something big has to happen. Something has to happen.
You would think.
Can't just, like, because right now there's a lot of milling about. Let's see here. Then we had...
The fashion files.
Oh, again, you know.
Fantastic.
This was easily the highlight.
It was so good.
This is the highlight of the night, man. I'm trying to think. This or Mojo's weird tour with the kids. Yeah, this might have been the highlight of the night. So Chet Cheddarfield, Fandango, was dressed up as Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
And the banker was dressed up as a Bobby.
Yes.
That's what they call the cops there in England. It was like a cartoonishly big outfit.
Yeah, it was too large for him.
So they were doing some fashion police investigations. They saw some face paint on the ground, and they had, like, taped off some, like...
The best part of this for me was...
When Chet Cheddarfield
just walk right past the police tape. Oh, gosh.
He walked through it.
He just walked right through it. As if he was completely oblivious. It was
that
there.
Was the thing about... Because not just he, like, went through it. He, at a normal pace, it just sort of collapsed. Or I don't know.
It was fantastic.
It was so good. Then they hear a bunch of shouting in, like, a janitorial closet, apparently. And what did the banker say? So first, Cheddarfield tried to open it, said it's locked. And then Tyler Breeze, he tried to kick the... As he was trying to kick the door down, he said something like, "Let her go."
Yeah, yeah.
There was no girl's voice, by the way. So I don't know what he thought was happening. But he kicks it once. It doesn't budge.
And then it just kind of opens by itself, seemed like.
No, he opens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He goes to open. It's like Chet Cheddarfield just trying to do that. And he sees the Ascension in there in, like, the tiniest, like, weird closet. And they're just like...
They're screaming at each other. And one of them holding a chain.
And they're like, I assume they're trying to get each other hyped up.
Yeah.
And then they awkwardly close the door on them, and Fandango says something like, "It looks like the Ascension case is open."
Yeah,
which meant they're gonna have a match.
It was so good. I love how they do all their own sound effects for their graphics.
Oh, I know, it's great.
So good.
It was so good. God, that's so great.
It's fantastic.
Then we had the storyless. They could have taken, okay. I was thinking to myself, why couldn't these guys have grabbed a camera crew, filmed something for 2 minutes down in the bowels of the O2 and ran that on WWE's YouTube?
I know.
And then they can do the earlier on YouTube.
Thing. I know.
So, and maybe we have, like, Dude Harper trying to convince Eric Rowan to, like, step away from his persona, mm-hmm. to no longer be a sheep.
I know.
And
I think
Rowan has something now on his back that says something like "no longer something." And I think it's referencing the whole Bray Wyatt thing. I don't know exactly what it said, but I thought the bottom thing said "no longer." I didn't see what the top thing said. Maybe it said something like a sheep or black sheep or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could be kind of a story. Like, the smallest little thing to set this match up, because otherwise, why does it exist?
I'm guessing they just would think the audience would just go along with it, given everything else has happened leading up to the match, that maybe we don't need to expound upon the story because it seems like the story could be obvious, but yet it's not.
I mean, that's the thing. I'm not opposed to, like, having us fill in the gaps with our imagination to an extent.
We need motivation at the least.
We need motivation. We need some seeds. We need some starting point. And it can't just be the fact that they were both in the Wyatt family.
Yeah, that Luke Harper left.
Yeah.
Or was kicked out.
whatever happened.
Yeah. But hey, the match itself wasn't bad.
It was a decent match. Yeah, it was a
Luke Harper
match.
Is great.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Please, WWE, do something with Luke Harper.
The dude, man. I'm telling you.
He's great.
Dude Harper. Do something with Dude Harper.
He is great.
Anyways, Eric Rowan surprisingly ended up winning.
Yeah, he distracted the ref with his mask. And while the ref was like doing something with the mask, Rowan gave Harper a thumb to the eye.
Yeah.
And hit like a Jeff Cobb-esque.
I thought the same. I thought it looked like
reverse
Jeff,
power slam.
It looked like a clumsy Jeff Cobb reverse power slam. It's really cool when Jeff Cobb does it. With Eric Rowan, he just sort of lumbers into
it. A little bit, yeah.
Which is fine. I want good things for him.
Yeah.
He's got a very unique look. So.
Yeah, and you know, he put on a good match with Luke Harper. It's probably one of the better single matches Eric Rowan has participated in.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that. Let's see here.
Okay, let's talk about this Dolph Shinsuke segment because I've...
Can I sleep while we're talking about it? Because that's what I wanted to do. While
really?
Dolph was
I thought this was a huge improvement over everything else Dolph has done in this feud.
That is not saying much
it's
of
not.
Anything. But...
But he actually had... His delivery was far better than it was last time. Mm-hmm. Way better.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't really... He never did that kind of weird stream of consciousness thing that
that's
he does.
That's true.
Which always makes what he says clumsy as opposed to like improvised.
Yeah.
This was direct. It was focused. His delivery was direct. It was focused. It was consistent. That little bit he said about, this could be all edited out anyways, was kind of funny. About how the crowd was cheering for Shinsuke.
Yeah.
Like he was acting like he had some stroke backstage.
Okay.
That was a good little moment. And then Shinsuke came out. He said, you know, he told him to shut up. Said, if you want to fight, let's do it now. And they were about to fight. Dolph said, nope, you're going to do it on my terms.
Mm-hmm.
It was effective.
I liked it from Shinsuke coming out. I actually liked it from Shinsuke coming out. The problem is that you have to look at it in a broader context of the nothing happening over the past how many
months. Oh, I know.
And
I know.
That's how I sort of looked at it. And Dolph, I'm just sort of done. And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. I will turn this into a positive. I thought that it was in a vacuum, it was effective. I thought it was.
If this was their second altercation, it'd have been great.
You're right. You're absolutely right. It would have been very good. I will say this, though. The fact that these guys have been. I firmly believe that Backlash, their match at Backlash, could be an outstanding match.
Yeah.
It could be a fantastic match.
They've been working dark matches for a month and a half now.
They've been working dark matches for a month and a half. Dolph is a hell of a worker. We know this.
Yeah.
Especially when I think he's going to be so motivated to make Shinsuke look like $1 million because he knows that Shinsuke is basically going to be like one of the centerpieces of SmackDown.
Yes.
And so I think the match at Backlash is going to be worth all this rigmarole that we're going through. So I'm totally fine with it. It is what it is. His debut is going to be on a pay-per-view. I'm not even like when I was watching this, I was like, you know what? The match is going to be really good, and in the end, that's what we're going to remember, really.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to sort of stick this out. I thought Shinsuke was really good. I thought the fact that the commentators, number one, I really like the commentary team. JBL on a leash is hilarious because he can't do what he wants to do. And I swear to God, his face is like several shades redder because of it.
Yeah.
Like if you look at him, it's like, does he look a little bit more red today? Because he can't say what he wants to say. He can't like verbally beat people up. He can't verbally. And he's got the biggest nerd in the world, Byron Saxton, sitting like two seats down from him. And he can't rip him every minute of the day. Just makes him so red. I can tell. Anyways, they said they referred to Shinsuke as one of the world's most elite strikers or something like that.
And they said King of Strong Style.
They did. They pointed the camera pointed to a sign of that. And so I'm at ease with that. I just want to fast forward to Shinsuke Nakamura versus Aleister Black. That's what I want to do.
Well, apparently I was reading online yesterday that over the summer there's a house show, I think, a live event where there's an advertised match of Shinsuke versus Kevin Owens.
Oh, interesting.
So that could potentially be Shinsuke's next feud.
Wowie, wow. Wow. Man, imagine the matches we're going to get there. Man.
Oh, I know.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I don't know. Glad you found it effective. I did as well to a degree. It's hard to
like I said, if this was their...
Yeah,
their
no, you're right. You're right.
Second altercation, it would have been fantastic.
Yeah. Let's see here. We've got...
We had Sami Zayn.
What did you think about this?
I mean, Sami Zayn is good.
No, he's great.
At doing that.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Okay, let me ask you this, because I suspect you might have had the same reaction I did. I had a half smile on my face throughout the entire thing, but I was also cringing during the entire thing.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is.
Because it's so bad. Because it's like, it's the every once in a while, and I read, like, I don't know, Meltzer or somebody said that when they first had him do this dorky thing, it was as punishment for something.
Yeah, something he did on Twitter or something, right?
Yeah, something stupid, probably. And so every time I see him doing that, I think that he's being punished.
I know, I do too.
Because they don't have him do it all the time.
No.
And in fact, it's not really in keeping with his in-ring persona.
Not really, no. But the thing is when he does it,
he's good at it because
he's all in.
Good.
Yeah, he's a pro. He's yeah, all he's in. He does exactly. his job to the fullest at every opportunity, and so he does a good job of mm-hmm. what he's doing. But yeah, it's like, in one sense, it's like, is he still being punished for something silly he did? Maybe.
I know.
At the same time, it's like, okay, he's all in on it. He's doing a good job.
Yeah.
So you can appreciate the work and still be like, is he doing this because someone thought he messed up?
Yeah. And the scarier thought is, are they just going to keep doing this with him? Is this going to be his permanent character now? Like a basically Larry David type thing? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyways.
But anyways, he was laying out a strategy for the tag match. And he talked to Orton first about how he is the Viper. So he was going to be he's going to strike first.
Yeah.
And then he turned to AJ and says, well, you know, you have Kevin Owens to deal with. I'm a bit of an expert on Kevin Owens. So we'll do a separate strategy session later. The camera zooms in on Sammy while he's talking, and it zooms back out.
He closes his eyes so that he can... What is that form of motivation when you close your eyes and you see your goals?
Oh, it's visualization.
Thank you. Visualization.
So he opens his eyes back up, and both AJ and Randy have left.
Yeah. 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 And again, his performance isn't cringeworthy. It's just that they're doing it. It's so out of place. That's my problem with it. The Ascension seem to be they look like $1 million these days. The Hoss Ascension guy is hossing up even more.
Yeah.
And he's got hair on his body,
mm-hmm.
which is a good Hoss sign.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, I feel like he was hossing for a bit, but he's got a six pack.
Yeah.
He's looking better these days.
He is.
Connor and Victor.
Yes, the Ascension.
Yeah. And they've given Connor. Is Connor the Hoss one or Victor? Victor's the Hoss one.
I think that's Victor.
Victor's the Hoss one. They gave him some like cool green
eyeball lenses. Yeah.
So he looked kind of cool.
I like their you know, they changed their face paint. So yeah. It's not
as crisp.
Yeah.
It looks more like war paint that's like been through some battles.
Yeah.
No, I like that. Are they ever going to give him a push?
No.
Probably not, huh? So anyways, they took on Breezango. The British crowd still has a massive affinity for Fandango's music and mm-hmm. the dancing thing. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it still tickles Fandango.
Yes.
These guys seem like they're having a really good time, and I love that.
Yeah.
Fandango ended up going over. He ended up getting the pin with the top rope leg drop.
Yes.
Picking up the win for Breezango.
And then after the match, the Usos came out and talked some trash.
Yeah. What did you think about this? I'm not huge into it. I think they think it's clever, maybe.
It was a little long.
It was long. The 12 days thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it when they started out, I was like, okay, this is interesting, and it just kind of went on and on and on.
Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't really into it. It was weird. But anyways, they you know, I didn't like it. But anyway, like, Dan is back, Kiss is back, Lick is back. And I'm like, what is your point right now? Because I don't think it is what I think it is. But it's straddling a line of uncomfortability right now.
That is a good point.
Thank you. Okay. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's straddling a line of uncomfortability.
Because, I mean, again, I was kind of half finishing Fun Wrestling.
It was really obnoxious.
Yeah.
It was very obnoxious.
While parts of SmackDown were on. And I think this is one of them. And I had the volume turned down a little low.
Yeah. It was the kind of thing where they thought volume meant energy. Like, if your volume was turned down low, I'm sure they probably would have sounded like normal. Because they're just being very loud.
Yeah. I noticed that, too.
Yeah.
And I think I missed some of the things they said. But now that you're filling in the blanks a little bit, I'm putting it together. I'm like, okay, yeah.
When somebody says lick his back, it's towing a line that you really don't want to stray into. And so, yeah, it was, I don't know. It was kind of, it was just weird. But anyways, they did their thing. Fandango, Breezango for their, you know, they completely no-sold it. They were like just standing there in the ring being like, I'm probably as confused as everybody else here. So anyways, next, what'd you think of Mojo Rawley's backstage tour with the kids? I like that you're trying to give him some dimension.
Yeah. He really likes his Andre trophy.
And it answers the question. This segment answered the question that we got a couple times back in the day. Or not back in the day, but like within the last couple months. Would you let Mojo Rawley babysit your kids? And I believe I would after seeing this. Mm-hmm. He was giving, I like heartfelt Mojo Rawley.
I do too.
Yeah, you know, it's adding some dimension to his character. He's not the best storyteller in the world because he started talking about Andre the Giant and the kids really didn't get any resolution on that. Because then he pivoted over to a story, I'm assuming, about him. And then he said, well, let me, and he didn't even really finish that story. And then he said, let me introduce you to my friend Andre the Giant. And I'm thinking to myself, this is actually a trophy with Andre, miniaturized Andre the Giant on top of it. But the kids were so wowed by bright, shiny thing that they didn't really care. And then one of the kids kicked Mojo. I felt Mojo was about to lay into the kid, but then he swerved him and said, nah, it's okay. Awful parenting advice right there, Mojo. It's not okay for a kid to kick somebody in their shin.
No.
That kid is going to have problems in life if that's what they do. But anyways, he continued on his backstage tour. Cut to the announce team, and JBL just says, what a brat! Oh, my God. He was so red in the face, man. Oh, my God. He wanted to give that little kid a clothesline from hell, Larson. What a brat! Oh, my God. Does JBL have kids?
I don't think so.
I would think they're like the most, if that's his take, I think he's like the most disciplined father ever. You little brat! Anyways. Oh, man.
After that, we had a iPhone video from Rusev.
Because it shows Byron first, and he says, oh, some motivational talk from Mojo. That made me very inspired. And then JBL just says, brat! Oh, God, it's the little things. It's the little things in life.
It is. Man. It really is.
Okay, so then we had a Rusev video. It looked like he was at some sort of office setting because he had the office ceiling.
It was the acoustic tiles on the ceiling,
He had the office ceiling going on. Were the ones where you're sitting there bored at work and you're throwing pencils up.
Yes, exactly.
Anyways, he said he's going to be on SmackDown next week.
Since no one has answered his request at a title match.
Yeah, because he's a brat! Lastly, we had our main event, which was a six-man cluster F match.
See, I thought it was a lot of fun.
Have I cursed in this episode? We can declare this a clean podcast
okay.
now, right?
All
right.
Because as I said at the beginning of the show, everybody in this match at one point in the last 3 weeks to a month have had little storylines going on.
Yeah, I know.
So every matchup felt like, okay, there's something they can work with in terms of developing characters and stories.
Okay, here's, I think, my problem with it.
What?
This probably would have worked better for me. We had no singles matches that even could come close to the main event. We had Harper versus Rowan. That wouldn't have been. Okay, here's where this would have worked better for me.
You wanted the top of the second hour?
I actually would have preferred this to open the show. Because we had this thing, and then it needed a Teddy Long to come out and say, this is going to be a six-man tag match starting right now.
And then have Dolph and Shinsuke close the show.
And then have
the
Dolph Shinsuke segment maybe finish a bit stronger to close the show. And then you have Shinsuke at the end standing tall. Then you go into your dark match maybe with Dolph and Shinsuke. Because I think
well, there's 205 Live in between the end of SmackDown and the dark match.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. Well,
yeah.
Whatever. Anyways, so then you get Shinsuke Dolph at the end. I probably would have been better off with that. But that's just me nitpicking. What do I know? It was fine. It was fun. Like you said, all these guys have like little stories.
And all every wrestler in this match is fun.
Yeah, that's true.
And they put on a fun match, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The finish saw Orton hit an RKO on Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And while he was getting up from the RKO, Jinder Mahal does his Cobra Clutch Slam. Sorry, I can't talk today.
Right.
On Orton.
Right.
Gets the pin. Pins the world champion.
Yeah. It's good.
It is good.
Good thing Backlash isn't this Sunday because...
That would mean Orton would win guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, when is the
21st, a week first? From this Sunday.
A week from this Sunday. So, we've got one more SmackDown.
Yes.
And we'll see who stands tall there.
Yeah.
And then we'll see Randy Orton it doesn't matter because he's going to win. But I don't know, dude. Number one. Okay, so when Jinder came out of the open of the show, he was showing off them pictures of him with the title.
It looked good.
Tell me he didn't look legit, man.
He did.
He looked good.
Looked real good.
He looked really good. I don't know. He kind of has like, I might win this face these days.
I know.
You know, they might say, hey, we're about to head into India. You know, we'll put the strap on you.
Yeah.
While we're there and then have somebody else taken off you. Probably Orton. So I don't know. It'd be kind of interesting. Like, I'm no longer at the 5%. I might be inching up to 15%.
I was going to say 20.
Ooh. Ooh.
We'll see who stands tall next week.
Jinder Mahal. Cool. What a kind of weird pop culture references we'd get from Moro if Jinder, like if he was still around. Oh, Jinder. I got nothing. Let's answer some questions.
Yes, let's answer
some
questions.
Look at that mecha. I'm going to buy that, man.
It's a good shirt. You did a good job with that one.
I did good. Patreon.com/Steven Larson if you want to financially support the show. We're up to 947 patrons.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic. Man. I feel so much love.
Yes.
Lots of love, Larson.
Yes.
All right, let's see here.
Mr. Funny Bones. Hey, Steven Larson. Based on last night's main event and team-up choice, do you think the dream booking of AJ versus Randy is out of the question, or do you think they will return to it once AJ has dealt with Shinsuke when that feud picks up? Thanks, friendos.
For now, yes.
Yeah.
For now, yes.
Yeah.
Are there currently any heel versus heel? No, they're strictly face heel right now.
Yeah, but you know, when there's a title involved, you can justify, especially if the competitors are popular
respect,
enough.
Respect, yes, that kind of thing.
A face versus face.
Out of the question, no, unlikely for the time being, yes.
Yes.
Retired Dwayne Nix.
The 30-time European champion.
Oh, I'm bringing that back. Cool. Meltzer said recently that he felt the Aiden English crying gimmick was a shot at. Oh, we answered this on the Raw thing. For Dwayne Nix, though, we'll answer it again. He says, Meltzer said recently he felt the Aiden English crying gimmick was a shot at Mauro Ranallo. He says, retired Dwayne Nix said he didn't see it that way, and he's a Mauro fan. What did we think?
I don't know.
I'll put it this way.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Wouldn't surprise me, yes. Wouldn't surprise me, no.
Yes.
I'll put it that way. Like, the WWE, they'll do that. They will do that.
Yeah.
And this kind of was a little bit on the, it was, I'll put it this way. The reason why I'm maybe leaning more yes than no is simply because it was a bit out of place.
Yeah.
And when something is gratuitous in that manner, then I tend to think somebody's taking a shot at somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody's trying to make it entirely possible. So that's my take.
Connor, Triple H finds it.
This is a good question.
Funny Dunmore. Who headlines the Hall of Fame class next year? Goldberg.
Yeah.
Or Undertaker.
I'm going to say Undertaker, only because no guarantees we haven't seen the last of Goldberg.
That's true.
I think we might see more of Goldberg.
That's entirely possible.
He had like the perfect run.
Yeah.
He went out on top. That's a good reason to not do anymore. However,
I mean, by his, you know, that promo he dropped after Raw, after Mania, by his own words, he says, you know, he's comfortable with this being it, but he will leave the door open.
Yeah. And when you leave on that good term, that good of terms, the only question would be who would Goldberg take next?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's see here. Nemo, the Universal Kidney Punching Champion, says, what's your favorite theme song?
Right now, Bobby Roode.
Hard to argue with that.
Shinsuke
hard to argue
is good.
With either of those.
Aleister
Black, baby.
Yeah. You're all in on that guy.
That kind of, I know it's not it, but it kind of has that little bit in it.
All time favorite theme.
I mean, man, it's hard to, like, what gets you geeked the most? Like, that makes me want to just stun everybody I see.
I'll always have an affinity for Shawn Michaels' theme song.
Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, because he sings it himself, too.
I know.
That helps.
It really helps. It helps a lot.
He also says, if you could pick a theme for yourselves, what would it be? So, tomorrow, they say, Steven Larson, you're coming out.
Yes.
Here's what we have to do. Let's say tomorrow, James Angel calls us.
Yes.
On our telephone, on our landlines.
Yes.
And says, coming to SPW, put that going in Raw title, put the H title up.
Yeah.
Me versus the troll.
Yes.
you, because of your fun affiliation, back James Angel.
Yes.
I back the troll, but yes, we get our own entrance themes.
Oh, okay.
What's my entrance theme?
Oh, I get to pick yours?
No.
Oh.
You pick yours, I pick mine.
What is yours? I think I know what yours is.
Well, mine, traditionally, I've always said it would be Rise Above, yes, by Black Flag. But I don't know. I'd have to think about it. What
See,
about
mine you? Traditionally was Super Furry Animals, Man Don't Give a F. F.
Yeah. Ooh. 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 So I'd probably stick with that, because I'd come out with a bunch of energy, because Rise Above, I want to rise above.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'd be gassed.
Yeah, you would.
And I would just deliver this really gassed, winded promo.
In my mind, you'd come out. You'd run to the ring.
Yeah.
Do some really bad moshing. So, you know, like sub Alexander Wolf style,
yeah,
moshing.
Sub, yeah, there you go.
No,
I like that.
Yeah, I'd have to think of something more recent.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think of something that would be applicable to Cold Water Larson.
Oh, yeah. I'd want to do something like Shibata, how it starts out as the most mellow,
yeah,
stuff ever.
I'd want to find a song like Suzuki has.
I would come out to like
that's
the
really
opening,
melodic.
Yeah. I'd come out to No Surprises.
Okay.
Because it's just very...
Well, at least, well, mellow. Shibata's song, it starts mellow, then it picks up.
Yeah.
No Surprises.
No,
it's
I
just
know.
All
it's
mellow.
Just all mellow, yeah. So I don't know. And then the other question would be for us... They say, Steve and Larson, you're coming out together in tandem.
Yes.
What would be our in tandem theme song if it's not going in the Going In Raw theme? Because that's kind of obvious.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we'd have to come out to.
Yeah, I guess so.
We'd use that cool metal version that somebody sent
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We still have to figure out a way to do that. Anyways, moving on.
Yes, James Rodriguez. With the rumors that WWE is trying to get Cena to come back sooner due to a drop in ratings, where do you see him fitting in when he returns? I mean, he can fit in anywhere.
He can fit in anywhere. He's John Cena.
I mean, ideally, he wouldn't fit in the world title scene.
Yeah, ideally.
But we've seen him and Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
He had a match with Baron, but a feud between him and Baron could be good.
Yeah, there was never really like a real feud. Cena versus Jinder Mahal.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
That would be good.
That would be good. I like this. JT says, hey, friend knows, where else do you think Mojo went on his tour with kids? I like to think that he went to gorilla position and saw Michael Hayes sitting there. And he said, hey, kids, look, it's a free bird. And Michael Hayes says, what? What? Oh, man. He says, hey, look. Hey, kids, look. It's Grimace. He's got all that whole purple gimmick.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah. Terrence.
He pulls up. Michael Hayes goes in his fanny pack and pulls out some grandma gum. Did your grandma ever give you gum?
Not gum, but candy, yeah.
Oh, mine used to get, I used to have gum. It was like, she used to have like the cool Trident.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was that stuff.
Terrence Thompson, how would you book the SmackDown tag team division to make it stronger? This was the Usos' first appearance in over a month.
Is that actually true? I don't think that's true. Might be true. Look, man.
Trying to think if they
tag division as strong as ever been because of Fashion Police. They literally have their own like SVU spinoff on SmackDown. Can't argue with that. It'll be interesting to see where the tag division goes when New Day comes out.
Yes.
I like their little video game promo.
Oh, it was great.
That was fun. oh, here's a good question. The Philly Flexer says, the Fashion Police are so over, and I love it. When was the last time there was a tag team that you wanted to see get a push and they got it? For me, it was American Alpha. I really enjoyed to see American Alpha back in NXT get that push. It was fun to see that.
Yes.
And now I could care less about them. I'm bored with it. I'm bored with it.
So wait, it was a question, a push you wanted to see or you want to see?
When was the last time you got that? Ken and Daniel Bryan was a lot of fun.
I think right now with the Fashion Police.
The Fashion Police.
Like 2 weeks before they got their push,
yeah,
that we wanted to see it, and now we have it, and I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Steve's comfy shirt, Liam Wagner. Hey guys, so after searching through some history online, Vengeance 2007
question.
Was supposed to have Chris Benoit versus CM Punk for the ECW title, which would have been an amazing match. Given the obvious circumstances, that match never happened. My question is, what dream matches do you think never happened due to poor booking? Different time eras, death, and so on. Thanks, guys. Stay comfy. I always go back to Macho Man wanting to do that year-long feud with HBK.
Did we do a count out? It was top 10 like WrestleMania main events we never saw?
Something like that. WrestleMania ever, dream matches we never saw.
Did we
saw.
Ever actually do that? We did that one?
I think so.
We did
or
do
maybe
that
we
one?
Didn't.
I thought that was one we were planning on doing, and then maybe we didn't do it. Maybe we
That's
didn't
entirely
do it.
Possible. I can check.
I don't remember.
Because that yeah, was answer the question. I'll look.
It was a really good list we had.
It was
dream matches we never go. AJ Styles versus Shawn Michaels this past year. At the
oh moment. Yeah,
that should have happened or Mania whenever it was supposed to happen.
Oh yeah, we didn't do it.
We never did it.
Yeah, well that's next year then.
Because yeah, we have that. That's next year.
Well, for WrestleMania,
weekend we can always just do dream matches that never happen.
Oh, I know.
Doesn't have to be Mania specific.
I was thinking for
Hogan versus
search.
Flair at Mania.
Yeah.
Never happened.
Never happened. They did some house shows, and I guess the problem was the attendance wasn't that great, so Vince decided not to do it.
Well, yeah, two guys who were well into their 80s.
Yeah.
Even at the time. Like,
yeah.
You can't, it's not even, it was. I mean, you have to appreciate that about WCW. They ended up giving us a lot of dream matches.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double T.
Did we ever get Hogan versus Guerrero in WCW?
I don't think
or
so.
Or Benoit versus Hogan in WCW. I don't think we did.
Not
either.
That I recall.
Yeah.
Double T. Hey, friendos. My question today regards Seth Rollins. While I love his moveset, but recently I've come to notice his selling is real bad to the point it is a standout flaw in his matches with Triple H and Samoa Joe. His knee was supposed to be hurt. He still does all his flip moves and in spots like his knee doesn't hurt at all. Also recently, his mic work has been really bad lately. So my question what is your opinion on the moveset, mic work, and selling of Seth Rollins? So what do we think of Seth Rollins?
I don't like all this stuff. Do you like all this stuff? Thanks, Double T.
See, like during the WrestleMania match, I thought he did a decent job selling. It's for him, it seems like the way he sells is a constant back and forth where he'll sell, and then you know it'll get to the point where he'll find the strength to pull off a couple moves, and mm-hmm. then Triple H would do something, and he'd sell again, and just be this constant back and forth.
Yeah. It's this necessity right now of him having to do the knee thing.
Yeah.
And that to me, I want to fast forward to the after that.
Mm-hmm. It took him a while to stop making Cesaro's shoulder injury the whole focus of people's attacks on him, you know.
We've mentioned this before. Seth Rollins, and I mean hell, this goes for anybody. I mean some people can go on autopilot and be great, but they're few and far between. Seth Rollins needs distinct motivation, mm-hmm. clear motivation to be interesting. And when he had that with Triple H during that brief build-up to Mania, it was there, it was thick, it was distinct.
Yeah.
He really doesn't have with Samoa Joe, and you see the more interesting person in that feud is obviously Samoa Joe because he has distinct motivation.
Yes.
Seth Rollins' motivation can't simply be, I want to get away from this guy, or I want to mess this guy up because he messed me up. Samoa Joe is aiming for Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
And there isn't really a strong reciprocation there.
Well, I mean, for their first match, there kind of was because Seth wanted vengeance or revenge the knee injury.
Yeah.
Seth won, so, you know, in that sense, he should be satisfied.
Mm, yeah.
But Samoa Joe is obviously not happy because he lost that match, even though they have yet to bring up the fact that Joe's shoulder is at least 3 inches off the mat.
That's, yeah.
Anyways.
That wasn't canon.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
Apparently, that wasn't canon.
And so now Seth's motivation is simply defending himself,
mm-hmm.
essentially.
Yeah.
Which is relatable, but it's not the strongest motivation in terms of developing a story.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And when you look at him as a heel, like, heels have, like, kind of automatic motivation.
Yeah.
You know?
And it seems like heels, for the most part, have a license to have more fun.
Oh, yeah. It's weird. Let's see here. I like this question here. Chalupa Batman says, seeing as Randy's run with the title is pretty much boring as watching paint dry, do you think it was a mistake to take the belt off AJ? Having him carry it through Mania could have saved us from the epic failure of Randy versus Bray. Yes, I agree.
Well, I think the Randy versus Bray feud would have happened regardless. That match at Mania still would have happened, just would have been for the belt.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But yeah, I think having AJ... Who did AJ fight at Mania? Oh, Shane.
It was a decent match.
It was fun. It was a fun match because of the spots, but you know we both.
If you watch that match televised? Mm-hmm. Oh, we watched it. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that played pretty well on TV.
I mean, comparatively speaking, to like a lot of the other
matches
on that card.
Yes,
it was one of the better ones.
Yes.
The social pariah heel TGX. You've been tasked with making a wrestling themed Mario Kart style kart racer that are five wrestlers, past or present. You put in the game. What would their custom vehicle be or look like? What would they specialize in? I put Baron Corbin in there.
Yeah. On a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle.
American Badass Undertaker on a motorcycle.
On a motorcycle. Mojo Rawley, I'd want him to be in like one of those Flintstones eras. Like his legs are like
are the motor,
and he'd be the fastest.
I want John Cena to be in the car he drove through that pane of glass before his match against HBK at WrestleMania.
Oh, I like that. I think that's good. And then Uno Mas, we need one more. Sasha Banks on that old timey car.
Oh yeah, but the one that she got drove out on at WrestleMania. This
exactly.
Year.
Yeah, the old timey car.
Who? DDP drove somebody to the ring
like
a
pink Cadillac.
Who was it? Was it Honky Tonk Man?
That sounds right. That sounds.
That would have made the most sense.
Yeah, I think it was because then Honky Tonk Man and somebody else did a song.
So yeah, DDP in his pink Cadillac. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Perfect. We just booked it. Perfectly.
We booked it.
Let's see here. Patrick Sparks. Hey, friendos. Rusev announced he'd be back next week to talk to Shane about a title match at Money in the Bank. Who will have the title at that pay-per-view and who on the SmackDown roster would be the best person for Rusev to fight with? Who will Rusev fight with? We got another Lana promo this week. Again, shot on the entrance.
Right? Yeah. Let's think here. Who's a face who's not really doing much?
Who's a face?
Mid-card at least. Upper mid-card. It might be Mojo.
Oh, that'd be great. I would love that. Would you like that?
Yeah.
I would like that a lot. Because that's a step up for Mojo, and Rusev would have a lot of fun with that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, that could Rusev be a lot would of fun, have yeah. so much fun with
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because the goofier, the better for Rusev.
Yes. Tommy T, do we answer this question already? Hey, Stephen Larson, my question today refers to something What Culture said a while back.
We have not answered this question.
Okay. They were asked the question, who would do better and go farther in the WWE, Adam Cole or Kenny Omega? And they all replied, it depends on who's in charge. If it's Vince, then Kenny. If it's Triple H, then Adam Cole.
I would actually flip that.
Yeah, apparently Vince is really high on Adam Cole, right?
Yeah, Vince. We've always heard Vince is huge on Adam Cole.
Do you agree with this statement and what are your thoughts on it? I mean, without the full conversation, it's hard. I mean, we need their explanation why they would think that way to really...
If we were asked that question without knowing what Culture said, without knowing that they gave a thing, I would flip it.
I think I would too.
Like because we've always heard that Vince is huge on Adam Cole.
Yes.
And Triple H, look, man, Triple H pulls from like the best the world has to offer, and Kenny Omega is that right now.
Yes.
So I would. That's my reason.
Yeah, I agree. I would be my inclination
to know
as
what
well.
What our friendos over there at What Culture, what their take on that would be.
Yes. Do a few more.
Let's see here. Oh, I like this one. The official water guy for Coldwater Larson, Daniel Rudo. How great was that front push kick from Nakamura? That was cool as hell.
That was great.
Dolph's, I'm telling you, that match is going to be really good, man.
No, I'm excited
for it. It's going to be really, really good. You know, Dolph prides himself on his work. It's going to be really interesting to see what he brings with a guy who he can have like a 5-star match with.
I like this question. Shinshasa. Caught up on all... It's the first time a patron here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Caught up on all the episodes of Lucha Underground, and he thinks Pentagon Jr. was the best all-around performer alongside Ricochet, who was Prince Puma.
Oh, yeah.
And he asks, what is the chance that we see him in NXT? Of course, now he is going by the name Penta 0M.
Zero M.
Yes.
Penta Cero
M.
But then they say, like, when they said it in Spanish, they said, like, they used a word with the M.
Yeah, it's zero. It means no fear. Zero fear.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
I know it's escaping me right now. I'm sorry. Pentagon Jr. is fantastic.
Yes.
I love his work. I loved his work in Lucha Underground. Yeah. He was great. Yeah. The whole thing where he was breaking arms, fantastic.
Yeah.
He is great. I was bummed out that at the PWG show he went to, he wasn't on the card because I really was excited to see him live. He's fantastic.
He'll be a bowler.
I would be super excited if he came to NXT. Super excited.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be crazy.
He's fantastic.
That'd be crazy. I thought I saw one that I liked. Oh,
it's Cero Miedo. How do you pronounce that?
Miedo.
Yeah.
Add an R in there and you got poo-poo.
Mm.
But Miedo.
That's fear.
Fear. Cero Miedo. Naheem Bogard says, "Do you think the Vince do you think the Fashion Police could win the titles and hold them till SummerSlam?" He says he would have them in an ongoing feud with the New Day. The New Day is going to make things interesting because there's a whole lot of nothing, and then there's the New Day. So if the Fashion Police win these titles off the Usos,
which is plausible, which I could see that happening,
absolutely plausible.
Especially, and while they're positioning the Fashion Police as the faces in this feud, it's easy enough to pivot.
Yeah, I'm going.
They can just kind of be their own thing.
Yeah,
and not necessarily be heels or faces.
I am going to, make a supposition here.
Okay,
I believe that they will win the titles from the Usos, and I believe they will not be on the SummerSlam card until SmackDown Live, until somebody demonstrates.
You mean the main card or the show as a whole? Pre-show and main show.
Well, they might be in like a 8-man tag match like the Usos. Until they show that there's any value to those titles, which I'm hoping the New Day will bring, until they show that, I have no reason to believe they'll actually be on the SummerSlam
entirely
card.
Possible.
That's my guess. I definitely hope I'm wrong about that because
yes.
I love the Fashion. Ah, Fashion Police. Did you already get these trivia questions up?
Yeah, these are ready to go.
Fresh? Let's do trivia, man.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
I'll ask you
first.
I'm
coming off of a hot, hot performance in Kayfabe Corner.
Yeah, you did well for yourself.
But I think I am distinctly in the
yes. You're losing pretty...
Big time.
Yeah.
Massive.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's start with classic. I'll read... I can't talk today.
Wow.
I will read question first. Can't talk.
We usually don't get together on Wednesdays.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just disturbing my whole rhythm.
It's good, man. You got to get thrown off sometimes.
You say that.
Yeah.
First question. What Midwestern state served as host to the first two Survivor Series events?
What Midwestern state?
Yes.
State?
State.
Or city?
State.
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 Illinois.
Ohio.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I would have figured it'd be in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Happens to be incorrect.
It does. What massive superstar won his match at the first WrestleMania in an impressive 9 seconds?
The first WrestleMania?
Yes, sir.
King Kong Bundy.
Very good.
What team won their first and only WWE World Tag Team Championship at WrestleMania 7?
Say,
is that your stomach?
Yeah, man.
Oh, my goodness.
The Heart Foundation.
The Nasty Boys.
Oh, my God. Why am I getting all these? What superstar was the first man to hold the WWE European Championship in February of 97? How is that considered classic?
It's a British Bulldog, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What trainer of Shawn Michaels accompanied him to the ring?
Jose Gonzalez.
No.
Jorge Gonzalez.
Jose Lothario.
Jose Lothario. Oh, man. I forgot that. What superstar was known for finishing... How was that classic?
Continue, please.
What superstar was known for his finishing off opponents with his Pearl River Plunge?
Oh, that was Ahmed Johnson.
How was that classic?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a fair point. That's right, right?
Yes.
Okay. What former baseball
player... How did you know that? How did you know Pearl River... God, that's impressive. How did you know that?
Because I'm a wrestling fan. What former baseball player was on the wrong end of run-ins with Kane at WrestleMania 14, 15, and 2000?
Oh, yeah. It was... oh, God. He's in my head. I know him. He's the guy who got banned for life for Pete Rose.
Yes.
Thank you.
Finally on the board.
On the board. Oh, boy. What general manager introduced Raw Roulette to the WWE Universe in Las Vegas in 2002? Raw Roulette.
Eric Bischoff.
Very good. I'm back. Better than ever.
Who did Goldberg defeat in a career versus title match at Unforgiven 2003 to capture the World Heavyweight Championship?
Triple H.
Yeah, he's wearing the bicycle shorts.
That's right. I'm going to go out on the trail later. Who at Unforgiven 1999 won a six-pack challenge for the WWE title Vince McMahon vacated? Unforgiven 99. Six-pack challenge. Ooh.
Triple H.
No, I'm going on the bike trail later. Yeah.
After Edge and Christian abandoned Gangrel, what tag team joined with him to become the new Brood?
Oh, it'd have to be the Hardy Boys.
Yep.
Yeah. 3-5.
Well, I got one more, don't I?
Yeah.
Ooh, I can do the clean sweep. Read it, please. Just read it. You never know.
No, I do know.
Sometimes I have brain farts and things don't come to me.
What superstar joined with Scotty Too Hotty and the other guy to be Too Cool? What Samoan superstar joined with Scotty Too Hotty and Brian Christopher?
That was Rikishi.
It was Rikishi, correct.
6-3. Three cards for me.
I am actually, you know what? I'm actually impressed by the Ahmed. That's the first time in my life I've been impressed by you.
In my life,
yeah. It's Ahmed Johnson, that answer, and then the Fun Wrestling logo. Two things I've been impressed with in my life with you.
That's twice in a year. I'm heading in the right direction.
No, you are, absolutely. Nothing for 20 years, and then two
twice in a year.
I'm 2017.
I'm finally heading in the right direction. Steve's approval.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways,
well, no longer be a disappointment to Steve.
Hold on a second. You get your
prize. Oh, they're over here, aren't they?
In the little Tupperware thing over there.
Three cards.
Ooh, three cards. One. Ooh, picking at random. Two.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Yes. Ooh, dude. Oh, ooh, look at that. Who is that? It says aggression divalicious. Who is that person?
Tori Wilson.
You know, I've seen her nipple. That when her and Shane Douglas were teaming in WCW, there was a shot of her boob. Like, she was wearing, like, a top in the Viagra match thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, I saw, like, her areola was peeking
out. Yeah, you've mentioned that before.
What the H?
Tajiri. And D'Lo Brown.
Fun trivia fact about D'Lo Brown. If you take a look at Brian Zane's Twitter feed and you see the picture of everybody from Internet Darlings, I'm pretty sure D'Lo took that picture. Or was he in the picture? I think he took the picture. In any event, he gave us directions to the next event we were going to. D'Lo Brown, solid individual.
Yes.
Anyways, that's it for now for Going In Raw. Stay tuned tomorrow. We've got our NXT 205 Live recap. Have you watched 205 Live yet?
No.
Me neither. But they're in Jack Gallagher's homeland of O2 Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyways. Till then, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.